Evening.
Good evening.
As you can see tonight, we're going with old school PowerPoint. Okay. So, tonight we're going to be studying about the tongue. And as Ken and I were joking around earlier, the tongue is a small member, so it will be a short lesson. I'd like to thank everyone for the kind words and whatnot that has been said, the songs that have been led. I'd like to thank Tandy, because without her, I wouldn't have a lesson tonight. I joked around with my sister a couple weeks ago, and I said, I think I'm going to preach on the tongue. And sure enough, that is what I'm preaching on tonight, and the tongue is one of them things that I have an awful problem with. As Tandy would tell most of you, I have no tact whatsoever. If something's on my mind, I will say it, no matter how harsh it comes out, and I've been trying to work on that. So, I know many people have preached upon this several times, even some recently, and since we had our reading, let's just jump right in and start in James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. James is giving a couple of descriptions of how small things control much larger ones. In verse 2, he says that if a man doesn't stumble, then he's a perfect man. We know only one person had the perfect man down pat, and that was Christ. James also describes in the end of verse 2 that if a man can control his tongue perfectly, then he would be able to control his body perfectly. As humans, we know that we try and often do succeed at controlling our mouths, but if we really look inward, how well are we at controlling our thoughts or the thoughts of our heart? So James is reminding that the tongue, although small, ultimately controls our whole person and everything we do in it. Our tongue is often a reflection of the inward thoughts or feelings. In verse 5, he tells that although it is little, it can do great things. Those great things may be for good or for bad. If you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 22, he writes, "He who speaks the truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is no one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." Now, if you turn over to Psalms chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, the psalmist writes, "They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart. They speak, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that's proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us?" And then if we turn back to the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 26, James writes, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. These verses tell us of the damage this one little member can cause, and not just to others, but mostly to ourselves. If we turn back to James chapter 3, starting in verse 6, is, "And the tongue is a fiery, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets fire and sets fire the course of nature, and it sets it set on fire by hell. Like fire, the tongue sins can spread destruction quickly, and even smoke from it can cause damage to others around." We can see in the Old Testament that they knew the damage of the tongue. If we look back at Psalms 120, chapter 120, verses 2 and 3, it states, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given you, or what shall be done to your false tongue?" Turn now to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 30. Give me just a second. I got a misprint. "A perverse man spreads strife, and the slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass." If we look over in Matthew chapter 12, in verses 36 and 37, we can see that the Pharisees had committed blasphemy with their tongues and were told by Christ, "But I say to you, that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And if we turn back one chapter, or turn forward a couple of chapters to chapter 15, starting in verse 10 of the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking here to the multitudes about tradition. "When he had called the multitudes to himself, he said, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and the blind leads the blind will both fall in a ditch.' And Peter answered and said, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to the ear with unwashed hands, foes not defile a man. We are given more instruction in James on how to speak. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. He states, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God." We can also look at several examples of this, or examples of the power of the tongue in the Old Testament. If we turn back to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." And over in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, "A word filthy spoken is like apples of gold in a silver setting." And just a few more chapter or further in chapter 18, verse 21 of Proverbs, "Death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And if we go back to chapter 12 and verse 13, "The wicked are ensnared by transgressions of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble." And Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3 also gives very clear indication in its few words the capacity of what words contain. "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Basically, we should know when to keep silent, to make sure that the words we use are words that would be pleasing to God and at the right time. We could often have the right intention to be teaching someone about God and His laws, but if we use harsh words or hurtful words in a way that would keep someone from learning it, it is more harmful. So the wrong words, although maybe for the right reason, but spoken harshly, would not do good. We should seek to always be doing and saying those things that would bring glory to God. And if we turn back to Psalms chapter 34, verses 13 and 14. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And if we turn back into the New Testament and look at a parable Jesus was teaching in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bushes. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." and back to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And while we're here, if we turn over to chapter 16 and verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. And now back to the New Testament. I apologize for all the back and forth flipping. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only search a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And then if you turn to chapter 5 of Ephesians, starting in verse 3, going through 6, but immorality or iniquity, impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The three sins of the tongue talked about here are the type of speech that is obscene or degrading, foolish or dirty, and suggestive and immoral are destructive for godly living. We know that no Christian is sinless. But the difference is a believer constantly with the same sin and shows no true remorse to making a proper change. If we turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The last scripture I have comes from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Most of you know this from probably the 60s and 70s music, if you haven't read it before. There's a time for everything. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. We never like to leave a service without an invitation. As stated in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, there is a time for everything. Right now, there is a time to, if you need to ask God for repentance and confess Him, asking Him for forgiveness. If there's any here that wish to be baptized or just need to talk to someone, please come forward as we get ready to stand and sing. And if you need to be baptized, we will find water and make it happen. Come as we stand and sing.
I am thine, O Lord.